This is an amateur recording of Seamus Young's book, How I Learned. It can be found online at his website, seamusyoung.com/20sided tale.
Chapter 10. Neighbor John. Two doors up from us lives an eccentric fellow named John. He's married, and his children have grown. He's a large, wild-looking fellow. Big black beard, thick black curly hair, thick glasses. He's also amazingly gentle and soft-spoken, as well as enormously humble and polite. In all my years knowing him, I would never once hear him speak ill of anyone. My brother Pat, 2 years younger and about 1,000 times more outgoing, talks to neighbor John now and again. Eventually, John discovers that Pat doesn't know his states and capitals. He quizzes me and finds that I am similarly deficient. He insists that this won't do, and asks our mother if he can help us learn them. I am skeptical. This sounds like school. God bless you. Yeah, that's no fun, huh? You got boogers coming out your nose. Oh, there. There. This sounds like school, and I do not like school. School is a place with bullies, the teachers, and jerks, the other kids, who disapprove of me and let me know how much they don't appreciate me or my scholastic efforts. It's a constant assault on my sense of worth and my sense of agency. I spend all day watching the clock and waiting to escape, hoping I can make it home without experiencing any major humiliations. I spend my non-school hours avoiding thinking about school and trying to ignore the dread that tomorrow or Monday or next fall I'll have to go back again. There is no end to this punishment, and the best I can do is put it out of my mind for a few hours. So I do not like this idea of a neighbor showing up and giving me more school during non-school time. However, he is very different from my teachers, and his approach is very different from their fetish or bureaucratic paperwork. I humor him. He hand traces a map of the United States somewhere and pays to have them photocopied. Oh, no. Oh, what's the matter? Are you falling asleep and you're sad about that? She's like, I don't want to lose consciousness. I don't want to fall asleep. You're okay, baby. You're okay. Oh. There. There you go. Is that better? In the 80s, you didn't surf to a web page, look something up, and hit print to get a nice color copy from your fancy inkjet printer. You drove to the printer and you paid to have copies made. These look like worksheets to me. On the other hand, he made them himself, and he cares that I fill my sheet out. Even better, if I fill up this map, he isn't going to turn around and make me fill out another just like it, and another forever. We have a finite goal, and we are working towards it. We are trying to accomplish something. Slowly, the map is filled in as I learn each state. I'd always been hazy on what all those square states in the Midwest. And then each capital. When we succeed, he presents us with a gift. A massive 5-foot color map of the United States. That map still exists today and is hanging in my parents' basement. 30 years old, and it's still in good shape. Having accomplished this together, I become friends with John. I visit him regularly. When I arrive at his house, he greets me warmly, offers me a drink, usually lemonade, and a seat. We have to sit on his porch, since he has dogs. He treats me just the way an adult would treat another. He asks me how I am, and genuinely is interested in the answer. We sit together and talk about history. At school, I hate history. History is this. 1. The Battles of Gettysburg was fought on July 1st through 3rd, 1863. 2. The Union won the battle. These things happened spontaneously and for no particular reason. Why were the armies in Gettysburg? Because that's where the battle was held, apparently. And then they showed up and fought, and one side won. With John, history is an increasingly complex web of events, where fates and fortunes can often turn on the most surprising circumstances. In school, I'd come to see wars as armies moving around a map, like recounting some age-past game of Risk. With John, I understand that armies are systems that need food and ammunition and intelligence, and even shoes in order to operate. I understand that war is often an expression of various ideas and values that cannot reconcile or tolerate one another. In school, people fought wars for no reason, and one without explanation. Oh, sure, the nation of Florin and the country of Greater Albonia were fighting over territory, but why do they want that territory? This is further hampered by the slow pace at which historical events are memorized. If this week I tell you when Bilbo left Bag End, to Frodo, and the next week I tell you the date when Frodo left the Shire, and the next week after that I tell you the date when Frodo left Rivendell, it's not going to make for a very cohesive tale, and I shouldn't be shocked if you have trouble remembering it. Under this instruction, I come to understand how human beings could decide to do something so shockingly stupid and painful as have a war. He teaches me all of this without ever having wasted my time with paperwork or tests or worksheets. In an afternoon, I'll absorb and retain more history than I will during an entire month of schooling. I do so effortlessly while enjoying friendship and sipping lemonade. The learning isn't even our goal. It's a byproduct. In my view, knowing dates is great for winning games of Trivial Pursuit and becoming the returning champion on Jeopardy, but knowing why and how is important for inculcating future generations against the bad ideas of the past. Learning dates is simply rote memorization and regurgitating of facts, and doesn't really impart a meaningful understanding of history. Personally, I find it easier to learn the dates once I have the other facts to give it shape. Knowing the dates is admirable. Knowing the reasoning is crucial. Having said that, I can see how things ended up this way, and I'm not really outraged that the public schools over the history education works. Teaching why means teaching about the ideas behind the various conflicts. In the American Civil War alone, you can blunder into debates over states' rights, national rights, the Confederate flag, the reparations for slavery, and soon as you decide that you want to explain the reasoning behind events, the pressure will be on from various interested parties to have their talking points codified into curriculum that will be imparted to every student. After all, what better way to propagate your beliefs than to do an end run around your political rivals and go directly for their kids? It's unavoidable. Teaching actual history will sometimes lead to conflict and controversy. It's much better, from an administrative standpoint, to sidestep all these possible battles by sticking to dry, indisputable facts. Unfortunately, this often makes the lesson itself nearly pointless. I'm comforted by the number of people, myself included, who hated history classes but delight in the History Channel. In the early 1980s, Neighbor John was my own personal History Channel, and I'll always be grateful for that. He stopped being part of my life when we moved away. I encountered him again when I reached adulthood and got to see him from a completely different angle. I'll talk more about him again later. John is a vigorous autodidact. I'm confident that he never attended any education beyond high school, but he has voracious reading appetite. His house is packed with books, not fiction, but a broad selection of textbooks that reflect his interests, science, philosophy, religion, and a double helping of history. His free education is so effective that it will be years before I realize that I am being educated at all.